We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jeff Hathorn has walked into the booth. It's our pleasure to have him here.
Good afternoon, gents.
You were over there at Kyle Dubas today, weren't you?
Oh, yes, I was.
So the floor is yours, Jeff. Did you say hello to Paul? Paul?
Hello, Jeff. Paul.
Hi, Jeff. Paul. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good, you?
I'm good.
What stood out to you?
Ooh, there was a lot of dancing.
Yeah?
You know, a lot of, even said at the beginning, listen, I'm probably not going to give you the answers that you want. He did, in his way, rip Ryan Graves, rip Erik Karlsson. Said the power play was on everybody, from him to the coaches to the players' execution. And he said that they can't expect to play like Carolina with the group that they have. Like, they need to play a little differently, and you know, they've got some work to do because they're not in the range yet with Carolina and the Rangers, and that's what they're going to work this offseason.
I read something from Rossi where he said basically that Dubas, maybe it was Rossi or Yoey or Rob Yoey.
One of those E's.
Rob Yoey or, you know, Josh Rossi. Where basically they're going to formulate their rebuild, quote unquote, or their reconfiguration, they're going to sort of model it after what the Kings did. What does that mean?
That means that they'll be able to play a little different way, but not have to wait forever to rebuild.
Maybe not forever, but I found that interesting too, and I went back and looked at some stories. How did the Kings rebuild? Well, they stockpiled draft picks. They got a lottery pick, second overall, and got a pretty good player. I don't know if the Penguins are getting that. And they made a bunch of trades, and they missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. So if he's wanting to launch that, do these last 2 years of missing the playoffs count, or are we looking at three more years of missing? Like, where does he – how is he going to execute this without sinking to the point where they're not a contender at all? And – the Kings had 3 years in a row where they had 71, 64, and 49 points. Now, that was in a shortened season. But 49 points, and then they wind up with the second pick in the draft. Man, that sounds like some pain ahead if that's the model he's going to take, Jeff.
Well, let's look at the reality. When the Penguins have been Stanley Cup champs, the reason they got to that point is because they were horrible for stretches.
Yeah.
Horrible. Not just missing out on the playoffs, but like out of it in February bad. And I mean, if you're going to have a transformation using the draft, that's where it's going to be. I mean, it's so hard to find players when you're picking that late and you've traded draft picks. And I don't begrudge that. They have Crosby, Malkin, Letang. They've got these guys for right now. You got to try to win for right now. I just don't know what this group, I mean, I don't know if they're capable of playing the way they did the last 3 weeks over the span of a season.
That's the thing we've seen. You know, that's the thing we've seen the most from this team is that they have these stretches where they play that way. And then everybody, all of us, getting really excited and say, okay, they figured it out. And then they have these long stretches where they revert back to trying to play a way that is not conducive to winning given their skill set that they have. And, you know, again, comes back to the elephant in the room. It sounds like Mike Sullivan is okay and he's going to survive this. And if he wants to make changes on his coaching staff, it's going to be up to him and not up to Kyle Dubas. Yeah. I mean, did you get any sense that there could be some changes coming down the pike?
So he was asked about that, and he kind of tiptoed around of, well, we have to have meetings and we're going to have discussions. But in all of his talk, it was always about working with Mike. There was not any doubt of working with Mike Sullivan during all of it. Now, could there have been some doubt in reading into what he was saying about some of the assistants? Yes. But he kind of couched that by saying, we haven't had some of those talks yet, and we need to have those organizational discussions before we make those decisions. So, I mean, he sounded like it was going to be Sully. And listen, guys, the big thing I think is to take away from me is what killed this team was they pouted like children right before and right after the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, they emotionally went in the tank for about 2 weeks.
And credit Lars Eller for saying that.
And Lars Eller said, and you know what? Dubas kind of backed that up today.
He kind of backed that up.
Not as forceful as Eller, but he did admit that basically, well, the way he put it was, in late February and early March, they were playing like a high lottery team, is the way he phrased it.
Wow. I mean, I remember saying it that day, because the night they lost to the Capitals 6-0 was the night that news broke that Guentzel would be traded, or they'd agreed to terms. The trade deadline was the next day. So I remember coming in the next day and saying, you know, that was just inexcusable. They basically quit. So what happens if they trade somebody else on the deadline today? What, do they forfeit the next two games?
Well,
this is professional hockey.
What's going to happen if they make trades this summer? A guy's going to get pouty during their workouts and think, oh, we're done because we traded whomever it is, Riley Smith or somebody. Oh, you know.
Yeah, it was sad to see them go in the tank like that. And then the nerve of Mike Sullivan to talk about what a great group of professionals they are. Well, no, they're not, Mike. What happened around the Guentzel trade?
Right.
Not very professional.
And I said, starting with that Capitals game where they basically looked like they quit, they were 2-7-1 in their next 10 games. That stretch is why they didn't make the playoffs.
Yep. Yes.
Period.
Yes. And there were some earlier losses. Like, you remember that trip out west where they fell asleep in that third period in Vegas and then basically didn't show up in Arizona. You get it, at least a point out of that. Where are you sitting now?
Right.
I mean, a point.
What was the general vibe over there?
That there were still a lot of questions. Like, he still had to answer a lot of questions with this team. Like, you know, times you get the vibe like, hey, we've got the answers and it wait till next year. This is more like, we got some work to do, but we feel good about Carlson finally breaking out. And like I said, he was critical of Ryan Graves and said this is a huge summer for he and Tristan Jarry to kind of elevate their games coming into camp. And he mentioned, you know, now they go into camp next year with Blomqvist, and if he has a really good playoffs, I mean, he's not going to sit there. He's not Jim Rutherford where he's going to say, listen, we're thinking about trading somebody. He's not that type of GM. But you got to think that Jarry is on the table. If the better Blomqvist continues to play down there, you don't bring up a young guy and just sit him behind somebody for 4 years.
Did he convey more of a sense of disgust than Sully did? Because Sully really made it sound like, wow, we finished so well, I feel better than I did last year missing the playoffs. And I don't think that's what people want to hear. What was the
he had more disgust than Sully.
Good.
And I think Sully was just kind of checked out. Like, I don't have answers. I haven't had the deep dives yet. It was, you know, hours after they played their final game, and like, he either didn't want to or hadn't kind of processed a lot of that stuff.
Were you guys, both of you, surprised at the tack that Sully has taken with this team? And what I mean by that is, when he came here, he was spitting fire. He was yelling at the stars on the bench. He was putting people in their place. He has that sort of tough Bostonian aura about him. And it seems in these past few years, and especially this year, he just is never inclined to rip his team. Just never. Does he do it behind closed doors? Does he? Because this is a team that deserves ripping.
Occasionally, and I can't say I've been to every practice, but the practices I've been at, rarely. But again, in practices, I mean, they're doing things the right way. You don't see them really slacking off in those workouts. I think it's probably this too. Not only has he built relationships with some of those guys, but it's such a veteran group that maybe with a younger team, he felt like he had to yell. And with these guys, they should know better. And I think that, I mean, as much as a lot of this is on Sullivan, I mean, Ryan Graves got to learn that damn system and play better hockey. Riley Smith can't pout that he got traded and I don't like it here and I'm not, you know, it's not working with Evgeny Malkin. Those guys can't pout after they are rumored to lose a teammate, then lose a teammate. And that's on those guys too. It's not just on Sullivan. These are adults and they're getting paid good money to play the game and be ready to play.
But part of that to me is it's on Sullivan because it's sort of, he sets the tone. And if guys are basically, like you said, pouting or not playing well or whatever, it tells me that maybe his message is no longer really 100% resounding in that room. And at some point you have to change that message. You can't fire players. You can't get rid of a lot of players. The easiest and best change or biggest change you can make in a hurry is by changing the voice in the locker room. In the form of the head coach. Now, one thing that I thought was interesting was there was at least three different cases where he said that guy's got to play better. Carlson, you know, he didn't play well at the beginning. He played better at the end, and hopefully that's what we see next year. I think it was
Graves.
Graves, you know, who's got to play and Jari
oh,
and Smith and yeah. Jari, four guys, right? Outside of Carlson, and maybe to a lesser degree, Graves. I mean, it's Jari. Is what evidence is there that he can play an entire season at a high level and be the guy that they signed him to be? I just don't. I mean, he has to play better. Okay, well, good. I don't look at analytics charts. Don't really understand a lot of hockey analytics, but I can tell you, yeah, okay, yeah, I can come up with the idea that Tristan Jari has to play better.
Well. I mean, they went with the reasoning that they were riding the hot hand, and I get that. It was the postseason. This guy was winning. But if you look at the numbers, there were excuses. There were reasons that you would go back to your number one goalie, but you didn't. And I think that tells you something right there. Sullivan said yesterday that, well, you know, there were stretches of games where Jari played a lot in a row. Well, yeah, and while every game does matter, that was October, November, December. Not when you had to win to keep your playoff hopes alive, who did you turn to?
Right. Well, I mean, of course Jari played a lot of games in a row. That's why they just paid him $30 million.
And Dubas mentioned, again, the massive potential of Tristan Jari. Well, he's 28. I realize
right.
Goalies' careers last longer.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah. But when are you going to see that? And I don't know. Blomqvist, to me, is a real intriguing figure because of – if he has a really good postseason, like I said, why do you need to have – I mean, why not give him a shot?
I agree. Finally, Jeff, and we appreciate you coming in. Well, I guess I have a couple quick questions
sure.
about the Penguins. Is Sid going to play in the World Championships,
no.
and would you recommend – he's not.
He's not.
I think that's good. Get the rest.
I do not think so. And neither is O'Connor.
Rest, no risk. Yeah. Neither's O'Connor. Anybody else?
Well, the Tang's hurt, so he's not.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be surgery for him.
Yeah, he's getting a second opinion, but I mean, Joe, you covered the team when Letang was around. You know, this guy plays through everything.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that he played 82 games, it's not excusing some of the things he did wrong, but
I mean, that's the scary part to me, Jeff, is that these last couple years, Letang, Gino, and Sid, I think they've all played every game. No, Letang was hurt a little bit last year. Gino and Sid have played every game for 2 years. Letang's played most of them. Carlson played every one. At this age, that's a miracle. There's no way that's going to continue. So they could go out and make changes and things like that, and there's still the age factor. Everybody's a year older.
It's so funny because Sid said yesterday, said, I wish I was playing 81 or 80 because normally that was because they were resting me at the end because I didn't need to because we were already in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're doing this with their stars playing every game and Sid still playing at an unbelievable level.
Mm. Well, thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, boys.
Appreciate you coming
in. Thank you for coming in.
I wanted to ask you about the Paul Skeens situation. Do you have work to do? Where are you going, Jeff?
No, I'm just going into the newsroom. But we could talk about it if you want.
Let's talk about that.
Yes.
Will you stay around?
Sure.
Or will you go back and come back?
Sure.
Can I get you a cup of coffee? And there's donuts out there.
I see.
Yeah.
The thing is, yes, it was, what was funny was the donuts are generally here really early. And Joe was very, what do you call it? Hangry. He was very hangry because they were late today.
I will say this. Over the last, month or so, there have been more donuts when I walk in the building at this time than there used to be.
Because Ron's not here?
Than there used to be.
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk in a minute. Let's do some Pirate stuff coming up here because there's a lot happening there as they get ready for a series. Should be an interesting one against the Red Sox. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Why can't they see, Jeff?
What
they're doing to me and to many others.
You dog, you.
Did you like the Elvis movie? The one?
I did. Did you?
I did too.
Yeah. A lot of it was about his manager, basically.
Right.
Right? And how in that relationship. But we are caught in a trap here, Jeff, with Jared Jones and Paul Skeens. And it's a multi-layered topic, but for me it's simple. And maybe I'm being obtuse here, if you like that word. But I saw a guy the other night in Pittsburgh get taken out of a historically great game who threw 59 pitches. And now I'm watching a guy throw more pitches than that for the AAA team. What am I missing? Why aren't they both here winning games for the Pirates? Because honestly, and I know this is one of those almost cliches. Oh, they're not going to spend their whole career here. They're probably not going to get a second contract here because both of them appear to be talented enough to get hundreds of millions of dollars at some point in their career. So how many more bullets are you going to waste either at AAA or for five-inning starts?
Mind you, real quickly, wasn't the storyline before the season that if he just stayed in the minors for 15 days, that they would get the extra year or whatever
I thought so.
Well, the reality is they don't know the math until the end of the year for sure.
Right.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
How that's going to be. And if you're just going to throw a guy three innings, I realize three innings helps in the major league level too, but I mean, if you're just going to throw a guy.
Yeah, but you could use him as an opener.
Well, the other part is if he's like top three or five in rookie of the year, right. I think that also impacts.
Yeah, top two. Yeah.
Again.
I know.
Again, why are we worried about 2034?
Which is
essentially what we're talking. Well, not 34. I'm sorry. My math is bad. 2031 or 32. Why are we worried about that?
What'd you think of Jones the other night getting pulled?
I understand the philosophy of the pitch counts. I do. I understand the logic behind it. But you can't take the same logic in every game. If a guy has 50 strikes and 59 pitches, then you have to say, okay, we're going to let him go. And then maybe a start down the road. Hell, maybe he doesn't have it, and he gets pulled in the second inning. So those numbers even out. But on a day like that, it's not like he even had a shutout through four or five and was laboring. I mean, obviously, 50 strikes and 59 pitches. My other fear is that they don't look at him and say, oh, we need him to be more pitch to contact. He doesn't need to change anything he's doing right now.
Right.
I mean, he'll get punched back, and he'll need to figure out his changeup and find a third pitch. But I understand what they were thinking, but I think you have to have exceptions, and that was a time for an exception.
How about the idea of a six-man rotation when Skeens comes up?
That would make less starts for these guys.
It would.
Yeah.
More days in between their starts.
And you know what we're going to hear? Well, it gets Keller and Perez out of their rhythm.
Oh, well.
Right? No, yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
No, like, I know.
With each action, there's another reaction.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I mean, listen, who's to say that 5 is a magical number that can't be changed? And you say you want 10 starters. The only thing you do is you limit your bullpen. And if you have an extra inning game or a game where your starter is out after one or two innings and you've got 6 starters, you're really limiting how effective your bullpen could be in some times.
But again, the baseball needs to decide what they want to be. Do they want to be this new age baseball where, you know, we have openers and we have, you know, this idea of bullpenning and we have all of these new ways that we're going to do pitch counts? Or do they want to have a 5-man rotation and have 5 guys that want to pitch? And if that's the case, this stuff with Jared Jones, you know, I get it. He's young. But there are so many other ways that you can save innings for a guy throughout the course of the year. For instance, you happen to have back-to-back weeks where you have a day off. You basically say we're going to skip a start. You're going to give him probably 14 days in between his starts. There you go. You do that twice, once in June, once in August. Then you don't have to play all these games where, well, he's coming out no matter what. It's just, to me, it's just lunacy.
And, you know, you could say, and I saw someone tweet out where, why don't you have a 7-man rotation where guys can only pitch 3 innings, but they can pitch 3 innings every 3 days. So they come in, they pitch 3 innings, and instead of the bullpen session they normally do halfway through starts, you just make that 2 or 3 innings in a game so you don't have to wait as many days in between games. I mean, there's all these different ways you can figure it out. But then if you have a Skeens, you don't want to wait 7 days for him to pitch again.
I mean, speaking of which, look behind you. Paul Skeens is going to be live
74.
With McAfee in studio, which leads me to wonder. It truly does. Paul Skeens strikes me as a free spirit type. He's playing the game so far. Him and his agent. They're playing the game so far. But I wonder at some point, the longer
Looks
he
like
stays
Deuce.
Down, when he's going to say something. Might it be today on McAfee?
The quote I have from him right here from today or from yesterday's Post-Gazette is that he says, there's a plan they came up with long ago. I respect that. The temptation is probably there for me to want to go to the major leagues, but I'm never going to ask to stay longer in a game because I know what the plan is. Frankly, the pitching coaches that are here, I can air it out to them, but they're not the ones making the decision. That tells me, Joe, he's probably chirping at the pitching coaches saying, all right, what are we doing here?
Are you watching this, Nelly? Can you hear the sound in there?
The sound does not work in here for some reason.
That's problematic. But if he says anything, I'm sure we'll hear about it soon enough. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would imagine his frustration, and as much as he wants to go longer in games, is why am I still pitching against the Louisville Redbirds or the Toledo Mudhens?
Yeah, I mean, this is it's very soon, if not already, is going to get to the point of being silly. This is like Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick competition when he was 6'8" and all the kids were like 4'3", you know?
So they're going to wait and have his first start be on, like, draft night?
Maybe.
Round one of the draft.
When does he get called up?
Soon. But
May.
Maybe mid-May. But to your point, he hasn't allowed a damn run in AAA. He's striking out everybody.
Like we said when we sent him there. Like, hitters sometimes, okay, you put a really good hitter in AAA. It might take them a little bit of time to figure out how to hit because, you know, they're going to face different pitchers and whatever. But if you've got a guy with Paul Skeens stuff and you put him in Triple A or Double A or wherever, you know, you're going to put him, and they put him in Triple A, but he's going to blow away almost all of the hitters that he's going to face. Because his stuff is major league stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, to your guy's point, if you bring Paul Skeens up and he pitches four innings, and then you put Bailey Falter in and he could pitch the rest of the game, wouldn't you rather have that? Especially when Falter's a guy that struggles in his, you know, in the first inning almost all the time. I mean, that, why not have that type of matchup where you could have those type of innings from Skeens, then you could have Falter, and if he falters, then you could bring in other relievers.
Why is it this complicated? They have two young fireballing phenoms.
Finally,
put them in the rotation.
Finally, that's right. The other part. You know, finally,
right? Finally, and we can't even enjoy it. How about this? You want to put a 5-inning limit? Put a 5-inning limit. Announce it to the world. Skeens and Jones are in the rotation starting next week. They each can only go 5 innings. I would clap from the rooftops. All right, I can live with that. And we're going to skip a start every once in a while. I'll clap from the rooftops. Can we sign up for that? What are we doing?
Well,
what are
but we again, doing? I don't know that would get us all the way to where we want to be.
Well, not this year, but at least we get to see them both pitch.
I would sign up for that. I would sign up without the innings restriction, but with the idea that there'll be periods of the season where they'll be shut down for a week or two or whatever.
I think if everybody knew what the plan was, whatever the plan might be, then that would be good. They should both be here. He needs to be here by his next start or two.
Yeah, you're just now, I don't know how you can excuse it other than to say that you're trying to work out a way to keep him one more year, to which your guys' point, let's be real, much like it was with Garrett Cole, and you knew Garrett Cole wasn't going to sign a second contract here.
How about this?
You feel pretty good that Paul Skeens is going to be however long he has to be, and then he's going to go somewhere and make a gazillion dollars.
How about this? We've all had kids, all three of us in youth sports. We've witnessed it. Sometimes somebody's so good that them being at the level they're at where they're dominating, it becomes a hindrance, makes them worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Reading
about
the
softball pitcher yesterday who strikes every single person out. How is she getting better at this point? This dude strikes everybody out at AAA, and you start it's at least –
Someone did get a double off of him yesterday,
did.
I think.
Yeah, I guess. Somebody did get a double. That's right. I think it's conceivable –
So you're saying send him down?
Yeah, send him to Altoona.
Send him to Altoona.
It's conceivable that you start to think, you develop bad habits. It becomes easy. I don't think that's good for the guy. He's ready for his next challenge.
He is ready for the next challenge. I don't – Skeens, though, doesn't strike me with that. You know, he was at the Air Force Academy, has that kind of mindset where he would lessen, like he would get sloppy.
Sure.
But I agree with you.
But, Jeff, if Paul can speak to this, if I've got a girl who's 6'4 and she's playing against bad competition, it just becomes too easy. That's not to say she gets lazy or something like that, but it doesn't help her. And it may, in fact, hinder her.
Right.
To just get the ball down low and shoot and score over kids who are 5'9". She's got to play against other 6'4 kids to get better. She ain't getting better. She might be getting worse. Paul?
I think that in this case, too, you're not really learning how to pitch to major league batters. Like, you're not going to blow that. You're not going to blow your stuff past major league hitters all the time. So you better learn how to pitch. In the minors, you know, it sounds like after he gave up the double, he just basically reared back and threw it 104 mile an hour three times and blew away the next guy. You're not necessarily going to be able to do that. I mean, obviously, if you throw 103, 104, it's hard to hit, but these guys are major leaguers, and we've seen even Aroldis Chapman get, you know, tattooed a little bit here and there. You know, I mean, guys that throw it hard, yeah, it helps, but there's so many guys throwing hard now that a lot of these batter or these hitters in the major leagues, they're used to it.
Yeah, and to your guy, I mean, listen, Charrington even could come out and have a news conference and try to explain this one away, but he can't, and that's why he's been quiet on it. Like, he knows, and hopefully they've done the math enough where it's just like, all right, especially now, we got off to this great start. It's a division that's going to be competitive. we feel like we can be competitive in this division. Why are we throwing away the chance to have Skeens be a part of this?
I do understand the paranoia of having a Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood situation, right? Where you have two unbelievable phenoms and you overuse them. I get it. They throw their arms out. I just think there's only so much you can do to try to prevent that, to try to. I think you can go too far the other way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's just my feeling.
And I think the other part of it is we've pointed out the Travis Sawchuk article that very clearly makes it very, very clear that there's no rhyme or reason for the number of injuries. That there have been other years where through the first 100 days there were 40, 45, 47 injuries, and there's like 18 right now or something. So I think we're to the point now where it's almost – what is it? What do they say? Paralysis by analysis or whatever, where they're overthinking this kind of stuff. Because again, to have a preordained number of innings somebody's going to go in a game is taking the manager completely out of the equation, because it doesn't matter what goes on in that game.
I think, I don't know how you guys feel. I'm good with it. Say, listen, we want to keep this around 70 pitches. If he's going bad, let's pull him early. If he's going really good, take it up to 80, 85, and then we'll borrow somewhere down the road. But to just say we're going to go until X inning, not knowing what the results are, seems like a flawed plan.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to have gray area in these type of plans.
Everybody's been taking precautions for years with these guys. Where does it get you? There's no proven method here that by keeping – Jared Jones to 59 pitches instead of 73, you're doing him any good. You know, it's just look at Strasburg's the great example. Jeff, Matt Venzel, Kyle Dubas says Nedeljkovic may be odd man out. Is that what you did? You hear? Is that how you interpreted his words?
And that goes what we were saying with Bloomquist.
Mm-hmm.
If Bloomquist does have a good postseason after having a good regular season, then they're going to give him an opportunity. And what he's saying there is, well, then it'll be Jari and Bloomquist. Unless they were to move Jari and make Bloomquist their guy and bring in a veteran to help teach him and mentor him. But are you going to keep a guy that's having this type of season, that has this type of potential? Are you going to make another mistake where you trade a really good young goalie? I think at this time you got it. I mean, Bloomquist is your future. Plus, he could save you a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you could add some things with that money that you desperately need.
I could see a scenario where both of the other guys are gone.
Yeah.
Or should be. And Nedeljkovic, because you can't sign him back, maybe. Maybe he wants to go somewhere else. Jari, because you want him out. And you sign some other veteran. There's millions that circulate through the NHL every year and put him with Bloomquist. I mean,
no one wanted Ned, basically.
Right. You find another Ned. Ned.
And he did battle, but it's not like he had a .920 save percentage. I mean, the numbers would back the fact that it was nice. He battled hard.
Right.
But, I mean, he was giving up 3, 4, 5 goals a game. And they were winning them because they were scoring.
And what did we say about it, too? There's nothing in that guy's background, track record, whatever, that suggested that this wasn't going to be some sort of a temporary, oh, he's playing well now, but let's see what's happening in 3 weeks from now. And that sort of came to fruition. He played really well for the short stretch when he first started and took over the job, but then they started winning games 6-5 or 5-4, and it's kind of like, well, I'm not sure that they, you know, that's really saying something great about him.
And I think If Bloomquist can handle it, don't you feel like it would be Bloomquist and a Ned? Like, those two would work well together because of Ned's personality, his ability. You know, the guys in the locker room love him. His mentality, I think, is a good one to learn from.
Good backup goalie. He is a good backup. Jeff, we appreciate you taking this much time.
You guys have Bob Walk coming up.
Yeah,
right?
We have Bob Walk.
I can't wait to hear him talk about this stuff.
Right. It's perfect. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, boys.
Very kindly. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. yes, let's talk to Bob Walk about all of this and see what he has to say about pitch counts and schemes and how much more he can benefit from blowing away the competition in the minor leagues. This is going to be really interesting coming up because Bob's never shy with an opinion, and it's always an educated opinion. Sun Chevrolet Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Spring's here, so are the deals at sunchevy.com. High of 66, scattered showers throughout. Is that it, Nelly? I'm confused all of a sudden. Have I satisfied all my obligations this hour?
I do believe you have. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
So, by the way, someone just pointed out this article about Greg Maddux talking about all these arm injuries.
Yeah, tell us next what he said. We have to run.
Okay.
We're in trouble.
Bye.
Bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.